Little Nuggets, West Monroe, Louisiana presents Strength for Today. And now with our message, missionary evangelist Huey Diffie.
Our Bibles are open to John, the 8th chapter. And we will read verse 36. It says, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." John 14:6, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is the truth. Let us pray. Father, we are thankful to be here. We are thankful to have your word. We ask you now that the Holy Spirit of God will open up your word and teach us, instruct us, and convict us, convert us, and do in our hearts the work that needs to be done. And Father, we pray for those who are not saved, that they would come to Christ this morning and be saved. And we will give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Here is truth that will change your life. This truth will change your eternal destiny. In fact, this truth will change your attitude about life and about eternity and about the Word of God. We learn that Jesus is the truth. Now, in John 8:32, we learn that the Word is truth. The Word of God says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The word "know" has to do with the understanding. A knowing that is in the spirit, not just a casual thing in the mind, just passing by and we say, "Well, I know that." No, it is something that we know in the inmost being of us. We know it because God has placed it there. "Then ye shall know the truth, and this truth that you know," which is the word of God, "shall make you free." The result of knowing the truth, my personal experience, is freedom, and that is freedom within. "Thy word is truth," Jesus said. So truth frees one within. Truth will break yokes of bondage, whether it be religious bondage or other bondage. It will break financial bondage. That does not mean that if you give $100 to the preacher, the church, or whomever, God is just going to deliver you. No, you give a dollar, get a hundred. No, I don't think that's what it means at all. But it does mean this, that when a person comes and begins to study the truth, then the principles that are in this word become part of us. We begin to apply those principles to our lives, and they set us free. Amen. I mean, that's what happened in my own life. In James, the first chapter, verse 25, a very good verse of scripture says, "But whoso," that's all inclusive, "whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. But whoso looketh into." Now the word "looketh into" is a word that means to stoop down, or to bend over, to look into. There's something there that I want to know what's in that. So I stoop down. I look into it. I want to know what is there. So I humble myself and I look down. I stoop down and look to see what is in there. And whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Now, the law of liberty is the word of God. And it's a perfect word. You see, this is not a book of bondage. This is a book of liberty. It will set a person free within. And it's a perfect law of liberty. Now, here's the secret. "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. There has to be the continuing therein. He being not a forgetful hearer. We look into it. God reveals it to us. We do not forget that. But we apply it to our lives. Notice what it says. But a doer of the work. He's continually looking into this law of liberty, and he doesn't forget what God showed him, but he puts it into action. He is a doer of the work. The what? The work. And this man, the one that looks into it and continues therein, shall be, a great promise of God, shall be blessed in his deed. Whatever he's doing, whatever God's led him to do, listen, he will be blessed in that thing. Now, there will be freedom from the power of indwelling sin. Now, most of us in this room have been saved. We've been born again, washed in the blood. We've been set free, and yet, listen, we have a struggle every day. Listen. There's that indwelling sin. Now, God crucified the old nature, but it's still around. It still gives trouble. And it will until we're caught up to meet him in the air. But we can have freedom from that power of indwelling sin. Notice Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion, shall not have the rule, the control, or the lordship over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. We're not under the law. We're under grace, and there's grace aplenty. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, there are two laws. There's the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. That's for saved people. But listen, that law of the Spirit of life hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The other law is that we sin, we die. And we come to the Word of God, and this Word frees us from that law of sin and death, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Not a spirit of death, but a spirit of life. We are alive. We're living today. Thank God that this is not a ritual that we're in. It's not a system of sadness. Listen, this is life. Amen. Life. Jesus gave us his life. We are living, and we're just as much alive spiritually today as we will be a trillion eons in eternity. The only thing, it will be magnified. We will enjoy it then. We'll not have this body not glorified that holds us down, holds us back. We'll not be limited in our knowledge. It will be magnified millions of times over then. But we have it now. Life. Eternal life. And the Bible says, now, the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now, I want us to hear this. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That means that the Spirit of God is in my heart, in control of my life. I have liberty. That doesn't mean everything gonna go just like I think it ought to go. That doesn't mean that. But it means that I've submitted everything to God. I'm trusting him, and there's a liberty in my life. It means that when the Spirit of the Lord is in the home, there is liberty in that home. There's a joy. There's a family that enjoys being together. And when the Spirit of the Lord is in the church, guess what's in the church? There's liberty. Liberty. Freedom to worship him. The liberty does not mean freedom to please the cravings of the flesh. Rather, it's freedom to be all that God wants us to be and to do all that God wants us to do. Now, let us consider the truth about the full, completed, finished, final salvation that God has provided for every one of us, so that we can be free within forever. Now, you can be saved forever. And I want you to listen closely to this. We all need to be saved because of our sins and our sin nature. The Bible teaches us of the fact of man's sin. Sin is a fact. Listen to it. Mark the 7th chapter, verses 21 through 23, Jesus is speaking. He said, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed some 13 things. First, there are evil thoughts. There are adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." All of these are in the heart. It may not be manifested or revealed all of the time, but they are in the heart. And they can be manifested any time or rise to the surface. It says all these things come from within and defile the man. That's true of every person alive on this earth today, everyone who has ever lived and everyone who shall ever live. That's true. You say, "Well, I've never done these sins. I never did any of those sins." Well, they were in your heart. You see, our problem is not external. Our problem is not our circumstances. Our problem is not the society in which we live. Our problem is internal. Our problem is our heart, our fallen nature. Now, our circumstances are society in which we live may cause us misery. But they are not the cause of our sinning. Our fallen, sinful nature causes us to commit sins. Our problem is an inside problem. The fact is, we have a sin nature that causes us to sin and enjoy it. Now, there is not only the fact of sin, there is the extent of sin. In Psalm 14, chapter verses 2 and 3, says the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Let's get the picture in our minds. God in heaven looked down on earth at the human race. He looked down at every person for one purpose. Listen, to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. He looked to see if there were any that understood. And verse 3 says, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You see, the verse says, all gone aside, all together become filthy, none that doeth good. Now, we all together became filthy. How did we all together become filthy? My. Some people have already lived and died. They're gone. There are others who have not been born yet. They have the same problem. But the Bible says together. How did we all do it together? Well, when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he fell from a state of innocence to a fallen state. He had a fallen nature. And listen, that fallen, sinful nature in Adam was passed down to every one of us. Therefore, listen, we all together become filthy, that means sinful, and sin extends to every person in the world. Now, God said in the Old Testament that all together become filthy, and he said it again in the New Testament. I think God wants us to understand. So, in Romans, the 3rd chapter, verse 10, he said, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is not any person who is right with God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we notice the following verses. They have to do with our head. See, we're guilty from our head to our feet. He said, there's none that understandeth. The word understandeth means that we cannot comprehend it mentally. We can't put it all together. And a person may be a genius in this world system, but a spiritually illiterate because he can't put it together in the mind. God must do that for us. He reveals it. These people in this place who understand what the Bible is saying, can go back to the time when they were saved and said, God did it. God taught me. God revealed it to me. And that's how they understand it. And you can understand it, but you need to be saved. Now, there is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Together become unprofitable. The word unprofitable is so interesting. It is a word that could be used of rotten fruit. Now, in your kitchen, someplace, you have some fruit or you had some fruit, and you kindly neglected it for a few days, and you went back, and there was this beautiful orange that was rotten. That's the same as deteriorating. And so what did you do with that orange? Well, you threw it away because it was unprofitable. And that is the word here. You see, altogether we become unprofitable. But Jesus wants to make us profitable. And that's what he does when he saves us. Now, sin extends to the whole person. Listen, their throat is an open sepulcher. They're talking about the head. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And their feet are swift to shed blood. Our feet, the foundation on which we stand. And then destruction and misery are in their ways. See, that's the lifestyle that we live. And usually we live a lifestyle that's destructive. It doesn't build. You look on television, we see what is happening around the world. And there's just destruction and misery going on. Instead of building up, tearing down. And that's what the Bible is saying. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. The Bible is saying they're destructive and miserable because they are spiritually illiterate. They don't know. And then there's no fear of God before their eyes. And that is a reason for all of the problems. Romans 3:23. Now listen to this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now Jesus is the glory of God, and we have all sinned and failed to measure up to the high standard of perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not like him, and we need to be saved and be like him. So we see some things here that we learn. Now, I want you to notice this. Christ's rejecters, those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, will be punished forever. God deals with sin in two ways, either by grace or by wrath, one or the other. And, of course, we make the decision because God offers his grace to all of us. There's grace to save us, and he wants us to come and to be saved. But if we reject him, then we will not be saved. And we need to come to Christ. See, the old devil will be going into the lake of fire and brimstone forever. And people who reject Jesus and follow the devil will receive the same punishment as the devil receives. I want to give you a verse in Revelation 21:8, and we'll not expound this verse, but just kind of read through it. First it says, but the fearful, those who are afraid to trust the Lord Jesus, the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers, whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. I want to say a word about the word sorcerers. That is a reference to the occult, with the use of drugs. And that's going to pick up momentum in the future. I mean, it has. I remember the time when you never heard of the occult. You never heard of drugs. I didn't. But now it's every place. And it's not going away. And people begin to drift into all of that stuff with the use of drugs. And I just want to say a word about drugs. You see, you got the occult and drugs, or you can choose Christ and the Bible, one or the other. And with the drugs, they will burn your brains. They'll do it. If I could beg somebody here, especially young people, do not ever, ever, ever take dope. Don't have anything to do with it. I've known people. I was in school with people. They had been on that stuff. Supposedly they got delivered from it, so on. Not one of them continued on for a life of usefulness for God. Not a one of them. Some of them went a long time, but finally it got them again. Most of them are dead. D-E-A-D, dead from drugs. One fellow had been in the Federal Cure Hospital in Leavenworth 5 times. He got his wife on it. She went to prison. They got out. Supposedly was saved. Went into the ministry. Doing good. But he couldn't shake it. One morning, an automobile. Listening to a preacher on the radio. Gone. Drugs. It'll burn your brains. But the Bible will give you understanding. Listen, drugs will destroy your body. The Bible will build faith in you. There's a contrast. Drugs will make you miserable. I've never known an addict that was happy. Never have. Never have. One fellow told me, he said, I had to steal to support my habit. Every day he stole. He's not happy. Not happy at all. He's afraid he's going to be caught. One day they did. And then he went to prison. Well, see, drugs will make you miserable, but the Bible, Jesus, will give you peace and joy in your heart. Listen, drugs will destroy your confidence. You'll come to the place you have no confidence. None. Oh, at first, everything seems so great. You're the star of the crowd. But it won't last long. The Bible will give you hope. It will give you hope. Jesus will do something for you. I'm thinking of a man, a preacher. His name. When he was 19 years of age, he saw his name in light. On Broadway. Oh, he was a performer. 19 years old. Lights on Broadway. In just a few short years, he said he heard the doors close behind him and he walked into the Tombs prison. And there he was in the dim gray walls of that prison. He said, my teeth were gone from heroin. Shut up. Lights on Broadway at 19 meant nothing to him. He had it all, but drugs. He had nothing. He had nothing. Well, fortunate for him, he was saved. And God used him to go around the country to different churches, places, young people, to plead with them to leave drugs alone and to share the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm telling you, in contrast to Christ rejectors, people who trust Jesus to be their Savior will be comforted and behold Jesus' glory forever. Think about it. What a contrast. We will see him. We will behold his glory forever and ever and ever. You see, we're all going to eternity. But everyone's not going to the same place in eternity. Those who receive Jesus in their heart will go to heaven to be with Jesus and behold his glory forever. Forever. Those who reject Jesus, forever. Forever. Listen, I plead with people to be saved. You see, the Apostle Paul was a very religious man, but he was not a saved man. In fact, he hated Christ. He hated Christians. And he was on his way to have Christians committed to put in prison. See, religion is not a friend of God. Religion is an enemy of God. You worship anything and be called religious, but Christianity is a person. The Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul was on his way to Damascus to have Christians put in jail. He had that authority. And something happened. At noonday, oh, the sun is so bright in that area, Babylon, Judea, in that area. But at noonday, there was a bright light that was brighter than the noonday sun. It shined around Paul. Everything was so strong on him that it fell to the ground. And there was a voice. It was Jesus that said, Paul. Well, really his name was Saul. Later his name was changed to Paul. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, Paul didn't know who it was. But he knew whoever it was his Lord. So he said, Lord, who art thou? And Jesus said, Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You see, in those days, a person had an oxen, an animal, a cow, that they used to pull the cart or the wagon or whatever. And they had a long stick, a goad, they called it, ox goad. And they would punch that ox goad on the heels someplace to make it go or to go a certain way. And Jesus said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. You see, he had been under conviction. He didn't want to admit it. But anyway, Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, gave his heart to Jesus, and lived for God all those days. And then when it came time to die, this is what he said. He went through a lot of things. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And I have kept the faith. You say, he said, I fought a good fight. He didn't say it had been easy. Well, he was put in jail, a lot of other things. But he said, I fought a good fight. And through it all, I kept the faith. I never doubted God. I have finished that which God had for me. And listen, you could do that today. You could be saved. Listen, today let us be honest. Just be honest. When you're laid to rest, how will you rest? Let me ask it this way. When you're laid to rest, will you rest? Jesus said, now listen, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, come unto me. Isn't that simple? Just come to me. Jesus said, come to me. And I will give you rest. That's a rest of salvation. Now, we could do what Jesus said and come. Any person can do that. It's simple. You see, salvation is simple as walking through a door. Jesus said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Salvation is as simple as taking a drink of water. He said, I am the water of life. It's simple. Listen, come unto me. Do what Jesus said and come. Come. Eternal life can be yours now. And your eternal destiny will be changed forever. Truth will change your eternal destiny. Just come with a sincere, repentant heart, and Jesus will do the rest. He's a wonderful Savior. Amen. Let us stand with our heads bowed for prayer. Musicians, come. We want to encourage you today. Oh, come to Christ. Please come to Jesus. We're asking you to surrender all to Jesus. Just trust Him today. Say, Lord Jesus, I know I need to be saved. And I want you to come into my heart. Forgive my sins and save me forever. Oh, if you'll just come, He will do that. Heavenly Father, have your will and way in every heart and life. Father, today we plead for that soul that needs to be saved. They've never trusted Jesus. They do not have eternal life. And Lord, we are praying this will be the day that they come to Christ and be saved. And we will thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Gospel Nuggets offers a free Bible correspondence program. For more information, just write to Gospel Nuggets, 6241 Jonesboro Road, West Monroe, Louisiana, 71292. That's Gospel Nuggets, 6241 Jonesboro Road, West Monroe, Louisiana, 71292.